Hi, I'm Robert.
I am Jaron.
And this is what we really thought of... What was the...
Contagion.
Contagion. Wow. Contagion and the Lion King 3D.
Lion King just wiped Contagion from your mind.
We're going to start with Contagion, our non-spoiler discussion.
Yeah.
You know, quick recommendation, all that. Go on to the Lion King, and then we'll spoil both of them. Not that you really need the Lion King to be spoiled at this point. It's... I think everyone knows that.
I would hope everyone knows the plot to The Lion King by now.
Unless little kids are listening to this podcast.
Which is doubtful.
Yeah.
And if so, go home and ask your parents what a Santorum is.
I have to explain that one to me off
mic. Oh, I don't. Oh, okay.
All right, so Contagion, directed by Steven Soderbergh, who did the Oceans movies and Traffic, stars Matt Damon, Marianne Cotillard, Gwyneth Paltrow, Kate Winslet, other people, Larry Fishburne, there we go. Yeah, Dimitri Martin.
Dimitri Martin.
Arguably.
Yeah.
Arguably starring.
Yes.
So Gwyneth Paltrow contracts a virus... somehow, and it spreads across the world, and people get sick, and they die.
And it's pretty much a
spoiler.
Spoiler alert, people die.
Yeah. So, what do you think, Jaron?
That was an interesting movie. I enjoyed it. But I don't know exactly how I felt about it. It was weird.
Would you recommend seeing it in theaters? Would you recommend seeing it?
I don't know. I'm still debating that. I enjoyed it, and it was definitely one of those movies I wanted to check out, but I'm definitely not going to give it, like, a raving, like, oh my god, you have to see this movie, because I'm still not even sure how much I actually liked it, so.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was well shot. I thought it was well acted. I thought, again, I seem to bring this up a lot. It's not that I have a problem with long movies, but there's some movies where it feels like there's a cutoff point and they just keep going.
Yeah.
This is one of those. Like, I do like most of the ending, but I felt like it was sort of out of place.
Like, yes.
Like, again, there are several places where they could have ended it and they didn't. I really liked the score, although it didn't quite fit. I mean, it was sort of jarring at times. I think that was on purpose, but it sort of calls back to it. It's very reminiscent of Daft Punk and
Trent Reznor's.
Yeah, Trent Reznor's Social Network score.
Well, Daft Punk's Tron score.
Yeah,
Trent
well, you know, yeah, that would have been even more awesome.
That would have. I love your implication that Trent Reznor and Daft Punk both worked on the
and the
Social
Network
score.
And they all worked on the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Exactly.
It was very striking. I'm going to have to see if it's available online because it
definitely stuck out.
There's still bits of that that are running through my head right now.
Yeah.
I just saw The Lion King, so.
Exactly.
I would recommend a definite rental, maybe a purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting, because DVD purchase is more expensive than a theatrical
movie
ticket. But,
yeah.
Well, I don't know, because you're usually buying concessions. Yeah. But
I'll have to agree with you. Definitely a rental. Like, definitely check it out, but I don't know that it's necessarily imperative that you catch it while it's still in theaters.
If you're a germaphobe, you may or may not want to see this.
Yeah.
Might
give you some tips.
Yeah, it is.
It's a world of people who are all germaphobes.
Yeah. I think that's it for the non-spoiler, unless you have anything else you'd like to tag on.
Nope, I think that's it.
Okay. Now to The Lion King 3D. It's a Disney re-release of the 1992?
Is that when it came out?
1990. Well, at least 1990s, early 1990s. I'm going to say it's 92, but I'm not entirely sure. 1992 animated Disney for The Lion King, which is about Mufasa and Simba. They're lions. One of them's a king. Another lion, Scar.
There's a bad guy.
Their brother/uncle wants to take over.
It's a Disney movie.
It's you know, it's what
it's the Lion
it's
King.
Macbeth or Hamlet, you know,
yeah.
with lions, Disney animation,
yeah.
and all that. Most of you, I expect, have seen the original at this point.
I would hope.
I would recommend seeing it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would necessarily recommend the... I don't know. The 3D, it was there. It's not, you know, the eye-popping 3D. It's atmospheric,
mm-hmm.
which... Yeah, and it looks good for the most part. I would say there's some bits where it's not heavy on the 3D at all.
Yeah.
You know, you can literally take off your glasses and there's...
No change.
Yeah, no change. Yeah, no boring, which means there's no 3D effect. But.
Well, also a lot of those scenes, there was more depth than there was anything else added to the background.
So I'm curious. I mean, it is available on DVD, and they're re-releasing it. Theaters now, one for the 3D cash-in, and two because they're having a Blu-ray release in a week or two. So, I'm not sure if I would recommend a theatrical experience. I mean, if you love The Lion King, obviously you should go see it in the theaters again, because how often is this going to happen?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess if you've never seen The Lion King, you should see it in theaters.
And you have the option of seeing it in 2D. It's there.
Yeah, it is. I think
not only in 3D.
There's more 2D screens or more 2D showings than 3D.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Well, I guess that covers everyone. So
yeah.
I guess I'm recommending seeing it in theaters.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I think everybody should see the movie, but definitely if you loved it. I mean, that was like my favorite movie when I was a kid. And I'm still obsessed with that movie. In fact, I think I'm going to go next week again with Maggie to go see it again.
Yeah.
And I told her that while the movie was still going. Like, I think I'm going to go back next week and see this again.
Oh, is that what you're texting?
Yeah. I was like, I'm in the middle of the movie saying I'm going to go see the movie again.
Yeah. I think maybe, yeah, if we are doing in our run next week,
uh-huh.
if there is room, maybe tag on the 2D.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to see it happen. I'm going to see it, like, two or three times while it's still here, so.
I'm going to go into this more in our spoiler section, but there were a lot more plot holes that I noticed as an adult than as a child that bug me.
Yeah.
did bug me, but I also did love this movie. I'd say The Lion King, Aladdin, and Toy Story were my favorite films as a kid, or my favorite traditional kids' films as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
There's some more adult or... you know, live-action stuff that I liked, but those were my favorite animated things as a kid.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think this really counts as spoiler material, but it was definitely a selling point for me while I was watching it. If you care or you know it all, they left out the stupid Morning Report song.
Yeah, the Morning Report that they... Well, it was optional on the DVD. You could watch it with or without... But the one that was cleaned up had that included. So if you wanted to watch the better looking version, you had to. That was in there.
Yeah. So yeah, it's the original version through and through. So that made me very happy.
I would say if you're gonna go see it, bring as many people as you can because it is a nice experience to share with people. I mean,
yes.
We weren't the only people in the audience singing the dialogue and singing along.
Exactly.
And I wouldn't say it was packed, but, it was a fair amount for a Monday night.
Yeah, definitely.
And, I think almost everyone was reciting the dialogue or singing. So,
as they should be.
I think
and
you're going to go bring everyone.
And as you mentioned when we got there, there was mostly adults in that audience.
Yeah, I think there were two kids and... I think there are two kids and about 20 adults.
Yep.
So,
there you go.
Adults / teens.
There you go. So, yeah.
That's all I have on non-spoilers.
That's all I got.
Okay. All right. We're going into spoilers.
Spoiler material.
Spoilers for Contagion first.
Okay. You said you had a number of some stuff that was running through your head before Lion King started.
Well, a lot of it was due with the multiple ending points, there was, I mean, maybe it's just, traditionalist, but, going through traditional narrative, but I thought as soon as they had the cure, that would be the end, like, transitioning.
Yeah, exactly.
The cure. There's also the occasional narration that wasn't accompanied by, like, any visible narrator, like mm-hmm. a TV broadcast. It was just narration from a character we've never seen before.
Yeah.
That was sort mm-hmm. not quite jarring, but was unusual, mm-hmm. I would say.
I don't know. I think that kind of sums up my feeling of the whole movie, was that, like, it was just sort of unusual, like, the whole time. Like, I liked it. I know I did.
It was sort of interesting. It felt sort of like a docudrama. Like, this was something that actually happened. They were depicting it. I mean,
I suppose that was what they were going for.
There was a lot of research that went into this.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, every move felt reasonable, everything they did. There were a couple of plot twists that mm-hmm. I thought were going to go in a different direction. Like, Marion Cotillard disappears from the movie for an hour.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon pops up like every 20 minutes.
Yeah, but I know we can't be the only ones, or at least I can't be the only one that, as soon as Matt Damon was the only one that was immune, thought, oh, he's going to be the cure. And then he's not.
Nope.
He's just a guy.
I think that's another thing they wanted to steer away from deliberately.
Yeah.
But there's Marion Cotillard is like, what is she? She's an expert in epidemics or something.
I think so. She's one of the people that's working on it, trying to figure out where it came from.
She works with WHO, the World Health Organization.
Yeah.
And she visits China or Hong Kong to, Hong Kong is China, right? So she visits Hong Kong to investigate the, origin of the mm-hmm. virus. And after she makes some conclusions about, it definitely came from Hong Kong, or it definitely came from this, China.
Yeah.
The Chinese characters that are with her start talking about, if we're going to do this, we better do this now. And I thought they were going to be
kidnapping her
to keep the news that it originated from China out, mm-hmm. From damaging the country's reputation.
Yeah.
Instead, it actually... it's a character point where they kidnap her to get... Ransom her for the vaccine for the village that these characters originate from.
Yeah, it's a tiny little village that there's not very many of them left, and they don't have it yet, so they're trying to...
So it's...
I think that was on purpose, too. I think they directly made you think that.
And that I like that they swerved away from that point where I was expecting as soon as that... Yeah. Dialogue came up. Okay, they're going to kidnap her. This movie is never going to show China.
Yeah.
Still may never show China, but... Mm-hmm.
I did think, though, that it was particular... There was a couple of moments where people rioting in Chicago that it was kind of funny how quickly people resorted to violence in certain situations.
Yeah.
Like, there's one particular moment that I couldn't help laughing where they're all being passed out food. And they run out of food. And the second one of them announces they've run out of food, someone immediately bolts out of the line and punches a woman in the face to try to take her food.
That was Minnesota.
Oh, it was Minnesota?
Yeah.
Well, Matt Damon was there.
Yeah, but still, I guess they didn't explain that well, but I guess they're quarantining every state.
Oh, okay.
Somehow, because I...
Well, yeah, no, he was going...
Because I remember Gwyneth Paltrow showed up in...
Yeah, you're right. That does make sense, because he was trying to go to Wisconsin.
Or not.
And that makes more sense if he's in Minnesota than if he's in Illinois.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I think it's because they base so much of it in Chicago.
Yeah, well, there's some
mm-hmm.
bits there.
But yeah, that was... And then the immediate looting that goes on and stuff. Some of those moments kind of made me laugh. They're not completely out of question of what people do. It just seemed really funny that they were like, violence immediately, this second.
Yeah. Those Minnesotans, they're out of control.
Exactly.
And Garrison Keillor, he's gonna choke a bitch. And that's not a Minnesotan accent.
No, it's not.
That's like Fargo. Vaguely Canadian.
It was like downright Fargo.
So the ending. So...
Yes.
The clear point that I thought was going to... Like, there are multiple endings. The one that I thought was the best that they got on was Matt Damon is arranged for his daughter to have a dance with her boyfriend, who he's been keeping away from the entire movie for mm-hmm. fear of the contagion. The virus. The sickness.
For
fear of saying the contagion.
For fear of her getting down with the sickness.
Yeah. And he starts looking through his camera, which apparently no one had looked through before. That belonged to Gwyneth Paltrow documenting, you know,
her trip,
you know, her last couple moments during, you know, before and after being infected.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm assuming this, you know, he starts breaking down finally. I mean, mm-hmm. he took it remarkably well when she died, mm-hmm. and it seems like he's finally, like, laying it all out.
I wasn't sure. That was one part I wasn't sure how I felt about either. Like, it was almost borderline, like, he's not going to react at all to it. Like, I understand he's in shock, but, like, there's, like, that's the only part in the movie where he actually, you see him break down about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, the yelling bit, you know, that you've seen in all the trailers. And
yeah. But it just,
I do understand that, because
at first.
Pretty much every other moment of the movie is accompanied by his daughter, so he's trying to be visibly strong.
Yeah.
It's finally over for real.
Yeah, I think it just kind of bugged me at first, because it was just kind of the concept of no reaction whatsoever, other than the yelling.
Yeah, and that point goes through photos, he breaks down, and we can see, like, okay, there's some meat, she's holding up the meat, she's smiling with the meat, she's eating the meat, and then...
it came from swine.
Yeah, pork. It was like a bat-swine combo caused the virus, and
mm-hmm.
so we're just assuming that point some bat, like, bit a pig and caught the thing.
Yeah.
We can assume from these photos, okay, she ate this stuff, and what started the virus. And then, right after that, or mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember when they put the virus in cold storage, was that before or after?
It was after.
Okay, so they cut from that to the cold storage, they put this virus...
I think so. They kind of have another one of those montage moments that they have throughout the movies.
It's either
stuff happening
right before or right after they put the virus in cold storage, which is another ending, you know, alongside all these other famous viruses like Ebola and H1N1, you know, the CDC is keeping a copy.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah.
And that was another ending. And then we cut to, you know, fades to black for a second, mm-hmm. and then we cut to
Bat.
One of Paltrow's companies, like Bobcats, what do you call it, bulldozers.
Yeah.
Taking down some trees, and I'm thinking, okay, we're going to do, like, the happening route where mm-hmm. the sickness is going to start all over again.
See, I thought they were going for an environmental and... minimalism thing immediately, like, it's deforestation causing all of the sickness.
They smash a tree, a bat goes out, it picks something off a banana, some banana off, it mm-hmm. flies into a barn where some pigs are, drops the banana, and then the pig eats the bit of the banana.
Bam.
And the pig gets butchered, and it ends up at the casino where Gwyneth Paltrow's, and it's a flashback, and it says day one, which, you know, was conspicuously held back at the beginning. It says day two, which, you know, I thought that was the whole point of showing the pictures was, okay, we're having an emotional moment, we're, you know, making it an acting moment instead of showing everyone, because we can all conclude from these photos
that, that's how it happened.
From what they told
if you're
us.
Willing to think about it for 5 seconds. Yes.
And then they end on the day one thing again. So it's three different endings right there. There's also, you know, when they get the cure, that's like a fourth ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was weird.
It's an extended epilogue. It's an extended denouement.
Yeah, it just kind of kept going and going for some reason.
You know, some of the moments work, but it feels like, you know, the end should have been them finding the cure or just jumping straight to the whole prom slash breakdown.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they could have easily tacked it in onto the, right after the one guy gets caught.
Yeah, Jude Law. That's another... Well, that's not quite an ending, but that's...
But they could have easily... Like, and I agree with you. I really think it should have been at the prom thing. That should have been the last thing, and, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, isn't that... That's just about one of the last things that happens right before the whole day one thing happens again. It just kind of... Yeah, I'm not sure why they did that.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether they... That was going to be in the opening, and then they cut it... Or whether someone asked them to put that in, you know, to explain to the audience, or whether that was part of the original script as the ending.
Yeah.
But I just had a problem with that. It just felt like they were, you know, over-explaining to the audience.
Yeah, definitely. There was something else that...
I really like the cinematography.
It looked good.
Especially that bridge shot that's in all the trailers.
Like, yeah.
Some of the air stuff. I mean, there's some nice... color correction, color timing, whatever on this. You know, beautiful colors in this
movie. Yeah. The fact... they have the fact that the person who appears to be our lead from the trailers is like dead within like the first like what?
Well, I wouldn't say she's the lead, but
she's in all of the trailers. Believe,
yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow, I would say, at least 80% of her screen time is featured in all the trailers.
Yeah.
And she has more time after she's dead on screen than before.
Yeah, it was just kind of... I did like how they did those scenes, though, where they played it out like it's a flashback to it happening and then freeze-framing it when they were like, here's...
security cam.
I did like the way they did that, but it didn't change the fact that it was odd, because we both brought that up, that it seemed like she was going to be in the movie a lot more than... she was.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a long, drawn-out death, but now we're just
immediately dead. Yeah. She's, like, kind of like the beginning of... Yeah, I mean, she is the beginning of the contagion, but...
Yeah, patient zero.
Yeah, but she's kind of, like, where the whole real thing starts getting real, like, kicked off is right after she dies, is right when everything really starts kicking off. But it was just kind of funny. So, yeah, that was, that was interesting, and as you mentioned in the spoiler free, the music was very interesting.
Yeah,
had a weird. It did sound a lot like a Trent Reznor or a Daft Punk type score.
Yeah, it was 80s.
Yeah, yeah, it had
80s
that
techno kind of
synth type sound. But it also mixed in, like, the organic, like, piano sounds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It also had that weird sound effect that would play in the music right now and then. That weird warbling sound effect that would, like, make you go, wait, what's going on?
Contagion. Oh, nothing.
Yeah. So, and, it did at times didn't really feel like it fit the scene. But I'm still not sure whether that was like that was just a miscalculation, or whether that was actually, they're really going for that. They didn't want it to really fit. Because there were some times where they used that score, and it gave it a very kind of impersonal feel. Like the whole documentary type feel, where you're just watching something unfold. You're not really involved with these characters per se. You're more just kind of watching the events unfold. And the music kind of lended itself to that. So I'm not sure if, like, some of those scenes they were supposed to feel like that. But it was definitely an interesting choice as far as the score goes.
Yes.
At least a couple of, like, kind of standout ones that would be cool to check out just almost by themselves, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely one of the more memorable scores I've heard in a while.
Basically, Bryson's drawn, maybe.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yeah.
Anything else on Contagion?
I don't know.
You have a...
It was weird.
Best actor of the film? Maybe.
I don't know, because it's not really a character film.
No, it's an ensemble piece.
But yeah, I mean, like they just kind of show up and they disappear. Dimitri Martin was fun. He played his role.
Yeah, clearly, Soderbergh was still carrying some of his casting tendencies from The Informant, where almost all of the characters were straight serious roles played by comedians.
Yeah. So yeah, that was interesting. I'm not sure. I don't know. Do you have somebody you like the most?
Well, I always like Matt Damon. I felt Marion Cotillard was underused, but that's also the nature of the beast. In an ensemble, there are some people you like more than others, and you can't spend all the time with them, or wouldn't be an ensemble. But I will say I was amazed by the amount of name actors were in this thing.
Yeah, definitely.
The you know, Bryan Cranston shows up for a thankless bit as a, you know, Army Rear Admiral.
Uh-huh. Like, literally for, like, 3, maybe 4 scenes.
Yeah.
Like, he gets to show up and do his little thing.
Yeah. Wonder if he has more to do in Drive.
Yeah. That's right. He is in that one, too.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see that next week.
But, yeah, I think that's it. The whole thing had a weird art house vibe to it in some parts, especially the montage scenes.
Yes.
It was a weird construction for me. I can't say I've personally ever really seen a movie like it before, where it was kind of constructed like, you know, like that whole documentary feel, but then every now and then we'd have a montage and it would feel like a kind
it's
of an art house
indie film. Art house mainstream.
Yeah.
Thriller.
With like a bunch of random name actors just tossed in. So yeah, that was kind of an odd experience. So yeah, I think that's it. Just an interesting movie overall.
So, The Lion King 3D.
Do we really need a spoiler bit for the awesomeness that is Lion King?
Well, we can talk more about The Lion King. You can never talk enough about The Lion King.
That's true. No. I'm still at 24, going on 25. I'm still obsessed with that movie that I watched to death when I was a kid. And I completely feel comfortable in the knowledge that I still know just about every line of dialogue in the movie.
Yeah, I was surprised by how much I remembered.
Yeah.
Same thing happened when they did the Toy Story double feature a couple years back during Halloween, where they remastered those and put them out in 3D. And, you know, that was very nice. And, like, you know, I knew almost all the dialogue. I'm like, wow, that's still up in my head.
Yeah. It's still floating around up there. Go figure.
I am surprised.
So, does it hold up?
Thing mostly. Again, there's some glaring plot holes.
Like the ending.
Is there anything you would like to mention first before I get into that?
Before you get into plot holes or just...
You can mention plot holes, but, you know, any complaints or any other criticisms that you didn't want to mention up front?
No. Like I said, I did like that they left out the Morning Report song that they added later to the special edition when that came out. Because that was the only thing that... It wasn't terrible. It just... I never liked it, and it was cool to actually see the original version again. I was pretty excited about that, but I don't think I have anything glaring before we get into, like, plot holes that were noticed.
So, my big thing, I guess the first one you can still sort of write off in character initially is, you know, Kid Simba is convinced by his Uncle Scar that he's responsible for the death of his father because, well, you know, since the stampede happened and he was trying to save you and he died, that means it's your fault. Uh-huh. And he doesn't even bring up the growling thing, which I thought... You know, I always thought he was going to mention, like, that's what caused the stampede, but he never does.
No.
I mean, you'd think that would place a more direct guilt on him, but he doesn't exploit that at all.
Yeah.
And I thought that's why he mentioned that. I guess it was just a taunt, but... You know, one of his winking over his head taunts.
Well, in his in the character's defense, he doesn't have to convince... logical thinking people.
No, you're driven by emotion when you find out that your father has died.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's easy enough to write off. And then you brought up the whole hyena thing. Like, oh my god, he doesn't put two and two together that the hyenas come after him right after he starts running away. You know?
And then they say, you know,
if you ever come back, we'll kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deliberate.
Yeah. But I was able to write it off as, again, it's an emotionally charged scene. He's young. He's not really going to think about those scenes when he gets older. You know what I mean? Like, those scenes aren't going to be near as vivid in his mind as he thinks they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That type of thing. So I was able to write it off as a character thing.
I would say as a kid that would be a thing, but also being, you know, what a big day that is.
Mm-hmm.
That he would be running over that memory over and over again, and that would stick in there. And
well,
once he gets the information that Scar has taken over and basically ruined everything, and he sees that, you know, Scar is evil, and it's not like an unintentional mismanagement of things.
Well,
that it would, you know, two and two, like, oh yeah, the father and the hyenas and the Killia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, okay, he won me dead and he tried to have my father.
But also, there's a very deliberate sense that he's trying as hard as he can not to think about it at all, like through the whole movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but when he's thinking about it, I mean...
Well, I mean, there is no moment of, hey, he's thinking about it. Like, literally, when they bring up the stars, and he starts to think about the, you know, what his dad said, that's like, it seems like, for some reason, that's like one of the first times he's thought about his dad since he, like, got there type thing, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And also... you know, like later on when he actually starts thinking about it, it almost has the air of, wow, he really hasn't thought about this since he got here, like, at all. And even when they get to Pride Rock and, you know, he's, like, standing down Scar, there's even still that sense of he really doesn't want to think about it until Scar flat out tells him, wait, you killed him? Oh, well, fuck, that changes everything. You know what I mean? So it's kind of funny. He's got this, like, weirdly, like intense level of, like, denying it and just, like, completely running away from it.
And that brings us to the my next sort of annoyance. It's not quite plot hole, it's just a plot point that's mishandled just goes nowhere. Like, Scar brings up, you know, well, you killed your father.
I wouldn't want to be responsible for the death of a family member. Would you agree?
Yeah, and then he, you know, does the circle interrogation Jeff's jury thing, and you know, completely confusing him on every level. Ah, well, if it weren't for you, he would be dead. Yes.
Do you admit it?
Do you admit it?
Yes.
Guilty.
So you killed him.
No, yeah. I'm not a murderer.
Yeah,
whole thing, and he has him convinced that he had his father.
That it was his fault.
Yeah, again, he's reinforcing that moment. Mm-hmm. And then...
And again, I will say, too, in Scar's defense, once again, confusion is in the air. He doesn't have to convince everybody else. He just has to convince Simba still that he's the reason.
Yeah, and everybody else believes him for that second. He's like, yes, it's my fault my father's dead.
Yeah, because he says it.
No!
That can't be right.
And then again, just like the rest of the plot point, that gets dropped a bit later.
So
then he backs him up to the edge of Pride Rock.
And it's kind of like one of those it's one of those moments of... It's like, oh, thanks to editing, he's now being backed into a corner. Wait, how did they get here? It's editing. That was great.
And he, you know, slips down, and he's two paws hanging on, and, you know, then Scar admits that...
He killed him.
He killed Mufasa, and then everything turns around. It's never mentioned again. You know, it literally, 1 minute later, after it's brought up, that whole plot point is moot. It's dropped. It's, as you said, it's...
That was Scar's ace in the hole, and it was a really bad one. Yeah, it was
the
weakest
ace in the hole.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I was also, again, able to, like, write off kind of the idea of he tells Simba, you know, out of hubris. Like, oh, you're going to die here in a second anyway. I could tell you. But it's, like, it's just, like, it's, like, really? That was your whole plan? Like, if he ever came back, and also that he relied on his stupid hyena henchman to finish off Simba for good, and just assumed he was gone forever. I don't know. Yeah, it is a really oddly mishandled plot point right at the end for being such a dramatic and important scene. So that's, like, kind of, like, the only part still that... Once I get older, I watch it, and I have to kind of laugh at that, at you know, how that whole scene plays out. But I think overall, the movie really does still stand up to repeated viewings and reviewings when you're older. I don't think it's completely uncool to say that you still like The Lion King. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you have a favorite song, favorite character, favorite moment?
Well, considering I know pretty much all the lines of dialogue in the movie, but the one character I know almost all of his lines of dialogue is Scar. And one thing I always liked about it was it wasn't always so much the lines themselves I remembered as much as the line delivery that I remembered.
Yes.
Because he's got some, you know, some very deliberately delivered lines that always sounded cooler just because...
Jeremy Irons.
Yeah.
Very distinctive.
Just because it was Jeremy Irons saying it. So, yeah.
You know, we could tag Dungeons and Dragons onto the end.
Oh, yeah.
We could. I don't know.
That's a movie.
I'll have to see how crowded that list is.
Yeah. That's a movie I can still say that there's a part of me that enjoys that movie.
I have never seen it. I just saw the trailer and the nostalgia.
It was horrible. And I enjoyed it.
I remember seeing the trailer and that's all.
My mom actually took me to see that. My mom took me to see that.
I'm sure it did that year, yeah.
Uh-huh. The way it came out, my mom took me to see it. And I liked it. I was a very easily impressionable youth.
I kind of liked Battlefield Earth at first.
I avoided it was boring, that shit,
but I kind of liked it, you know?
Yeah.
Although, it should have been a tip-off. There have been very few occasions, but when I see a spectacularly bad movie, I always get a migraine. And I got a migraine after seeing Battlefield Earth.
Yeah.
Then I revisited it later on. Oh, man, this is terrible. Yeah. So, anyway, Lion King. So,
but anyway, yeah, I still think it's one of the Disney movies that still holds up rather well, and I still enjoy watching it over and over again. I'm still gonna go see it another, like, at least two or three more times while it's in theaters, while I still have the chance. So
yeah, my favorite song is "Be Prepared," you know,
of course.
Line. I know that.
Yes.
And that delivery, you know.
Yes. Because that's
my
the whole
dream
song.
To play a role, a delicious villain role.
Yeah. Because
like
that's the whole, and that's one thing I think I always enjoyed about Scar, you know, especially when I got older. Scar's just an entertaining character.
Yeah.
And then when I got older, one reason I realized I really liked him as a villain is because he's really one of the kind of fewer villains in the Disney lineup that like he's completely unforgivable. Like, he's just an asshole. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at him in terms of the story, like, he has, like, no redeeming qualities other than he's an entertaining character. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, he doesn't even try to be redeemable, you know what I mean? And, you know, sometimes, for some reason, even if they don't try too hard, there's always that one moment of, oh, he has to have some type of redeeming quality or nobody's gonna like him. Type thing, and I always kind of liked that about Scar. Plus, he was also I think because he's a lion, he's also one of those villains that for some reason never shows up in the overarching, like, villain, like, lineups. Whenever they do, like, Disney lineups of villains and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think for some reason Scar's always one of those ones that for some reason never makes it in.
I think he was in Kingdom Hearts too. I'm not sure.
No, he was in that, but, like, you know, it's kind of like the way the Disney princesses are.
Yes.
They line up certain ones, but certain ones always get
left out. Why
isn't
Nala in the Disney Princess collection?
Exactly.
Because she's a lion.
Discrimination.
When I grow up, I want to be a lion.
Maybe I want to be a lion when I grow up. Oh, but yeah. So I guess that's my standing. I still love The Lion King. And I liked the 3D, but you're right. It wasn't amazing 3D. The beginning looked good.
Yes, yes. There are some sequences that were very good in 3D, but... That's because the animation itself is very good. So
yes, exactly.
They don't really have to do anything on the animation to make the 3D look good.
Yes, exactly.
It's very easy to post-convert.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, yeah, the other thing I wanted to mention that I completely forgot about, that opening for the Regal Cinemas, the Regal Cinemas tag.
He totally nostalgia out.
I had a nostalgic moment in Overload. Regal Cinemas. I haven't been to this place, I'd say, 8 years at least, and I think we went there fairly often when I was a child, you know, before the Rave was opened up, mm-hmm. and you know, when we wanted to go see something, you know, big, or, you know, they're doing something else in Fort Wayne, so mm-hmm. they would drop me off for a week, I see a movie or whatever. It's a reward for me, you know, for me keeping calm while we went on, like, 3-hour trips to the mall or something.
Nice.
And they have this opening where it's sort of Star Tours-esque, where you're on this railway track. Yeah, it's a first-person thing, and mm-hmm. you're going along, and they're playing this, you know, late 80s, early 90s music. And this was the same Regal Cinemas that they had, like, in the 90s. I do remember that.
As did I. I did recall.
Around. and they post-converted 3D.
Yeah.
Kept everything else the same. You know, you're going along the track, and it's a giant box of raisin nuts. Oh, popcorn's floating in space, and it's popping. Boom. And then there's one that pops right as you're going down the hill. Whoa. Yeah, it turns, and it's like, the mine cart ride. Indy Jones, and left and right. And then you arrive at the other end, and the thing comes down and says, like, Rego Cinemas.
It was pretty awesome.
It's like,
that looked pretty good for post-convert, too. So, that was awesome. So, I don't know. Is that it for our bit on The Lion King?
Were there any trailers you wanted to talk about? I guess this is...
We bought a zoo. That comes out of nowhere. That was kind of
Cameron Crowe, director of Almost Famous.
That was kind of random for me. I guess, probably because I was only mildly paying attention to the trailer until they got to the point.
Yeah, you're texting Maggie, I guess.
Oh, and by the way, it's a zoo. Like, that's literally what happens, and then we got to make an awesome Jurassic Park reference, and it was great.
We have a T-Rex?
You have a T-Rex?
We have a T-Rex!
Another one of the movies that I was obsessed with when I was younger.
Yes, I'm aware.
So, yeah.
Jurassic Park 4, it's coming.
I can't wait. It's gonna be gloriously awful.
Maybe.
So, yeah, but, there was that one, that was interesting. Were there any other trailers?
Muppets, of course.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Not in 3D.
Not, unfortunately.
But that's nice. I like that.
What if
they didn't succumb to that.
If they have
a sequel, I'm sure they'll be forced to do that.
Yeah.
It's a nice start. Yeah. And I like Jason Segel.
So yes, as do I.
I'm happy with the amounts of Jason Segel along with the Muppets. Although I do agree... Kermit should get first billing in a Muppet movie. Really.
He really should.
Yeah. This piggy egg, care less about, but Kermit always gets top billing.
Exactly, he's fucking Kermit.
It's Kermit D. Frog.
True.
Kermit D. Frog here.
Is that your Kermit?
Yeah, it's my Kermit. Kermit D. Frog here. Wow. Yeah, louder for the. I don't know how much that mic is picking.
Wow.
Let's see. Is there anything for Contagion? I'm trying to remember. Did we get there just as... No, we got there for us.
Did we get there for... Yeah, we got there part way through the Real Steel
trailer. Right, that was...
Again, another Real Steel trailer.
Yeah, it's, what, I think 3 or 4 weeks out.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Should be.
Hey. We could see it in IMAX.
Yeah, we could. IMAX 3D?
No, I don't think they got 3D. I think it's just IMAX.
Well, yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, like Contagion. They have Contagion IMAX.
In 3D?
Nope. Yeah, can you imagine that in 3D? We gotta put the mask on this camera.
Whoa! It's like the disease is coming right at me. Quick, somebody put a mask on that camera. Yeah. That was in the trailers, too, so that was funny even in the trailers.
I was wondering if they were going to justify that. Nope.
Nope.
Not at all. Clearly made for the trailers, that show.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't think I have anything else.
Yeah, I can't remember any others.
Okay, so that's it for this episode of What We Really Thought. We'll be back next week talking about Drive, at least. Maybe... Moneyball and Drive, I should say. Maybe
are the ones we're looking at.
Maybe Warrior, maybe not.
Are we hitting that what is it? Something Elite?
Killer Elite?
Killer Elite.
Wow, that's out next
week. Yeah, that's out Friday. I only know that because I saw the trailer on TV. It was like, oh yeah, that one. It kind of seems like something we would just randomly pop into and go, hey, this is a movie.
I'd say the first two are my priority, and then after that, if we have any
cash
time, whatever.
Yeah, we really should catch up on Drive and Moneyball. So, yeah.
So, we hope you've enjoyed this audio podcast.
Rambling
give us audio feedback. Podcast. Give us feedback on our Facebook page, the Wallacey Group.
Yes.
On our website, also the Wallacey Group. Yeah, www.waseegroup.blogspot.com.
Yes.
This podcast is also available on iTunes. Again, we hope you have enjoyed and keep listening.
All right. See ya.
Boom.
Ghost of Dynamite?
No.